It's just an all-around win for everybody. So
that is, yeah. I know Audacity can be tricky to configure to allow input recording from USB external off Mac. It's just, yeah, it's very rinky-dink. I know what you mean.
Totally.
Well, all right, I'm ready when you are.
Sweet, buddy. Here we go. 3, 2, and 1. Welcome back to White Spot Giants this week on Sportsnet 650. My name is Dan O'Connor. Thanks for sticking with us here on this Monday evening, middle of June. Big thanks as well to Eric Florchuk for a great conversation in segment number one of this show. Certainly sending him all sorts of good vibes as he, you know, hopefully gets ready to take the ice for his overage season in the Western Hockey League. And as we kind of continue to navigate these weird times together, last week our travels took us to Vancouver Island, to Victoria. This week we head north to Prince George to catch up with a fellow who's been hard at work, as all of us media types have been, trying to think of innovative ways to keep the WHL content coming through loud and clear. He is the play-by-play voice of the Prince George Cougars. Time sure flies, doesn't it? Heading into his fourth season with the Cougars behind the mic, a good friend of mine as well, Fraser Rogers. Welcome to the show, my friend. Good to have you on.
Thanks for having me on, Dan. It's always great to be back on the program. And you just talked about Eric Florchuk there, and I thought he had a real nice run there with the Giants when they picked him up. And a shame that we couldn't see what he and the team could do in the playoffs, but I think he can have a monster overage season coming up for you guys.
Well, I mean, he and I had the chat of, the Washington Capitals chose not to sign him. He found out actually in mid-May that that was going to be their decision. And, you know, we've seen it time and time again. Players get passed over or players don't sign, and it almost gives them a new lease on life. Some players will take it and it'll affect them negatively. Other players, you know, will take advantage of the opportunity and they'll make the most of it. And I guess the positive way that you can look at something like that is he doesn't have one team to try and impress anymore. He's got 31 of them, and that could end up being a very good thing for the likes of Eric Florchuk, for Alex Canuck-Leppert, and for a few others that did not sign with their teams. It can be tricky to navigate that, but alas, such is the reality of junior hockey.
Well said. And he's, you know, maybe things didn't work great for him in Saskatoon, but like I just said, yeah, I think he found a real nice home in Vancouver, and I think he's going to be a name we're going to talk about quite a bit in the BC division come next season.
Yeah, so let's get a sense, Fraser, about kind of what life is looking like for you and life with the Prince George Cougars. And I will kind of forever associate the Giants and the Cougars for many reasons personally, but one of the main things that immediately comes to mind is the final game that the Giants played in 2019-20 was in Prince George. It was a 4-3 overtime win for the Cougars, and that was the last game for either club. What do you remember about the days leading into the abrupt cancellation of the WHL season?
One thing that comes to mind is, yes, that finish for the Cougars and their fans. It kind of was a nice silver lining to the season, even though, as you said, and for everybody, it was cut short. Just the way your last game ended with a win and overtime, keeping that playoff hope alive, just the dramatics of Cole Moberg scoring on that breakaway and just the feeling in the building that night that this team had something going. That was kind of a neat way to end the year. If it had to end, at least that's the silver lining, because usually it's only one team in the CHL ends the season with a win, and that's the Memorial Cup champion, right? So to say that you ended your season on a win is a nice little silver lining for the team. But talking about the pause and the eventual shutdown, the biggest thing that I remember is just the craziness in 24 hours how the whole sporting world, Dan, stopped. You know, it started on that Wednesday night with that basketball game in Utah being abruptly canceled right before tip-off. I remember I was out for actually dinner with a couple coworkers and her business staff. We were sitting at a local establishment enjoying some food, and we're sitting there and, you know, you're on your phones and you're seeing the game on the TV, you're seeing all this breaking news. And we actually looked at one another and we said, this is it, guys. This could be one of the last sporting events we could see in a long time. And fast forward over 3 months and still no sports. And for me, the second biggest thing of the pause was being on the bus. We were actually – en route to Victoria that Thursday morning. The league announced the suspension and eventual cancellation, but the day the league was suspended, we were actually, as a team, driving to Victoria, getting prepared for a big weekend to continue the race to try to catch Seattle to that final wild card spot. So now we stopped in Williams Lake. We had the usual pit stop lunch there at the Boston Pizza, like we always do on road trips, and then kind of went on our way. And then by the time we hit Cache Creek, the news came down that hockey, not only for us, but for the entire CHL, is on pause. And we had to turn the bus around and head right back to Prince George. It was kind of an eerie day because you're living on your phone. People are asking you hundreds of questions, you know, family and friends and colleagues wondering what's going on. And it's a beautiful sunny day driving down the Highway 97, but it was a heavy day in other regards, just for the severity of the news and the world events that were going on. So it was very peculiar to be on a bus knowing that your season ended and you never even got a chance to go to your destination.
Fraser Rogers is the voice of the Prince George Cougars. He is my guest here on White Spot Giants this week. And obviously the WHL season paused and then is ultimately canceled. But the work continues in junior hockey, as you well know. Maybe it's the U.S. Prospects Draft or the WHL Bantam Draft. And then you see all sorts of creativity coming from, you know, our member teams throughout the league, Fraser, and just trying to kind of keep the WHL not even necessarily at the forefront of people's minds, but just simply like fighting like hell to keep this thing relevant. Tell me about the Prince George Cougars Bantam Draft. And I know it's a weird question because these kids are 14 and 15 years old. We don't really know what they are yet and probably won't for another 3+ years. But this is another draft that I know that the Prince George Cougars earned rave reviews for because of the quality of players that they added to their organization.
Yeah, it's a draft I think the team was pleasantly surprised by. When I say that, just where the kind of the chips fell when it comes to, you know, the order of the draft, what teams did that allowed the Cougars to pick some of the players where they picked them later in the draft. The first round, the Cougars knew they had to make, you know, their picks and hit those picks with those three first round draft picks. You know, no real surprise, you know, getting that Riley Height pick at number two, a player that was, you know, well publicized, well talked about, along with Connor Bedard out in North Vancouver. But it was Riley Height and Braden Yeager in Saskatchewan who had exceptional status playing midget hockey in their Bantam draft seasons and both playing on the same team. But, you know, that wasn't a real surprise. I think what they really were happy about is some of the later picks, getting a guy like Bauer Dumansky at 26th overall in the second round, of defenseman from Humble. Not really a late pick, but they were pleasant surprised to see him at 26 and actually take it back a few picks, getting Riker Singer with the last pick of the first round, forward out of Lloydminster, who was a co-MVP and co-top forward in the Alberta Bantam League, and having him basically fall in their laps, in their opinion, at number 22 was a home run. I remember director of scouting Bob Simmons, who you know quite well, was ecstatic on the phone with me as we talked about the draft recap later that day. He said getting Riker Singer might have been the, you know, the dark horse pick or the home run pick for them in the draft. And other great picks they liked too was Rylan Brown out of Edmonton, you know, great bloodlines with his dad, Sean, a former NHL player. And they also like a couple picks down the line, like a guy like Dylan Compton in the fifth round, who, you know, his dad has ties, Jeff Compton, working with Victoria Royals for many years, the Portland Winter Hawks. And they think he could be a nice player that they could, you know, recruit to the WHL, another defenseman. But in general, you mentioned it, Mark Lamb and his staff, they got rave reviews. I think they're really happy picks 1 through 10 that they used. And especially the first round, getting Riley Height, you know, a really special talent at number 2, and Caden Brown with their second pick, a kid that has Northern BC connections, being from Fort St. John, and he was a captain of his Bantam team down in Delta in your neck of the woods. And then, as I mentioned, Riker Singer, another star player in Alberta in his Bantam draft year, getting him also in the first round. I think that was a real nice first round table setter for the organization. And then you just look at their picks, they there's no real holes in the draft class this year. All these players had exceptional seasons in their respective leagues and provinces, and even the goalie they picked with their last pick, Liam Howlett, a nice project out of West Vancouver, a kid that's pushing 6'3 already as a goaltender. You know that looking at the depth chart, the Cougars like big goalies, Taylor Gauthier over 6'1", and Tyler Brennan being 6'3". So he's a nice project for the depth position, but I think they had to be really excited for the crop of talent they got in this 2020 draft class.
Goaltending has been at the forefront of junior hockey chatter lately because of some of these Hockey Canada announcements that have taken place. Tyler Brennan invited for, you know, named that U18 Hlinka Gretzky list, and then Taylor Gauthier, what a coup for him, being named to the U20 list, and obviously expecting further news here in the days to come about what a World Junior summer invite list might look like. But for Taylor Gauthier and Tyler Brennan, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the Cougars love what they have in goal with these two. How excited is the organization when it comes to these two goalies? And I know you can probably draw a parallel or two from the Vancouver Giants' recent history with David Tendick and Trent Miner. There really is no clear number one guy, and that they're both more than capable.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth, and I was just going to point to your own backyard and mention the goaltending stable that Vancouver has been, so fortunate to have the last seasons with Tendick and Miner. It's a great 1-2 punch. And, Mark Lamb and the staff here, they're beyond pleased to have the depth they have in goal with Taylor Gauthier, a clear number one in our league, a clear national contending goaltender for the World Junior team, as you just mentioned. He's on that radar. And a great story, I think, Taylor Gauthier of perseverance after, missing out on being drafted last summer. Didn't pout. It was for him, it was more of, I think, a little shakeup in a way of refocusing himself, rededicating himself to his position and to the craft. And boy, did he have a phenomenal season as an 18-year-old with just the amount of minutes he played. He was second in minutes played, first in games played. He was top two in shots and saves and had still very nice numbers, a 9.17 save percentage, a sub 3 goals against average, really solid numbers for a team that, struggled to score goals. So he didn't have a lot of run support. He had to be near perfect every night, and he nearly was. And you talk about Tyler Brennan, like, he is a bright pupil of Taylor Gauthier, a 16-year-old that looked calm as ever in net. It didn't look like he was 16 when he was playing this year. He was cool as a cucumber, I like to say. A guy that I draw a lot of parallels to Matt Murray in Pittsburgh, and just the same, like, calm, robotic almost demeanor about how they play the position. People would always make fun of Matt Murray for being so just even keeled all the time when he jumped on to the scene with Pittsburgh and won those Stanley Cups. I'm not saying Brennan's going to do that in the next 2 years, but he just has that great kind of ice water in his veins, the way he plays the position. And, he's a great protege of Taylor Gauthier's in the next couple of years as well. And, I think his Mark and his staff are loving the embarrassment of riches in net right now, and they have a tandem that they're in no rush to break up. Obviously, we've seen great success in Vancouver with both Trent Miner and David Tendick the last couple of years, and it's another great year of growth for Tyler Brennan to learn from such a good elite goaltender as Taylor Gauthier is. And Gauthier, for what he lacked in credentials before he came to leagues, made up for in just his work ethic. Now is 3 seasons in the league. He's really put the work in from being a prospect to a legitimate top NHL prospect now, probably coming when the draft happens this fall for the NHL. And I think both guys have a bright future, Taylor Gauthier this year and next year. And then, Tyler Brennan, his time will come for the spotlight in Prince George soon enough as well. And you mentioned both now in the Hockey Canada program. It's a great feather in the cap to this organization, what they've done to invest in goaltending. They hired a full-time goaltending coach a couple seats ago, bringing in Taylor Dakers, formerly of the Red Deer Rebels, and really investing in that position, not only in the scouting world, but in the actual development world. It's now paying dividends.
With Fraser Rogers, play-by-play voice of the Prince George Cougars here on White Swan Giants this week here on Sportsnet 650. Obviously we look at rosters and speculate about, why don't we just start there? I mean, what are you hearing, Fraser, about kind of where teams are at, where GMs are at, where the league is at as far as a potential return to play? And from that, why don't you just kind of segue into how the roster is shaping up for the Cougars heading into this upcoming season, and what are you excited about when it comes to that roster?
Yeah, we'll start with, you know, the Cougars roster. You know, starting there, it could be one of the youngest teams in the WHL this season, and that's actually not a slight. That's to show you this, the young depth pool that this team's quickly assembled, because there's some young players knocking on the door ready to be full-time WHL guys. We know what Keaton Dauheniuk and Cohen Zimmer can do. We've seen them play this past season as 15-year-olds a handful of times after being drafted from the 2004 birth year. And those guys look like they'll be everyday WHL players on the blue line. Dauheniuk, Zimmer, a forward, both will look to be regular contributors. Then you have a guy like Kyren Gronick, 2 years removed from being a second-round pick in 2019. He had a really good first year of midget hockey out in Regina with the very storied Pac Canadians, and he's a guy that this team looks to possibly be in the bottom six roles of four. Then, you know, recent signees like Jaron Brinson, who had a phenomenal development year as a defenseman out in Calgary with the Edge School in the prep league. Did he just rave about what he's done from his bantam year to his midget year, what he did in this past season, just rounding out his game. And that's another 16-year-old that could be on the blue line and probably is a safe bet to be a blue liner with this team. I think the biggest question mark, like it was last year, it's not going to be goaltending. It's not going to be defense. They are very solid at both positions. I think the blue line is as deep as it's ever been in my 4 years in Prince George coming into this upcoming season in the fall. But up front, it's just that natural scoring ability this year. There's lots of potential, no question, about guys that can definitely fill the void of a Josh Mazur and a Vladislav Mikulchuk departing due to graduation. That is a lot of offense leaving, but who can take that next step in their game to fill that void? And I think that's going to be a nice storyline for this team this year. It's not going to be, you know, the lack of potential. It's just going to be the lack of maybe experience in the goal scoring department. So can we see, you know, Philip Kofor, a European that just to come off his rookie year, can he step up and, you know, really get into the double digits in scoring? A Connor Bowie. You look at Ethan Brown, Elijah Kling, a couple of veterans up front as well. We mentioned Johnny Hooker in previous talk shows when they acquired him via trade, and he was a nice pickup from the Brandon Wheat Kings. But also we talk about Cohen Zimmer. I just mentioned him. As a 16-year-old, he might have a good crack at being a regular contributor up front for this team offensively. So I think when you're looking at the depth chart of the Cougars this year, it gets to be a little green when it comes to just experience in certain areas. Especially up front, but it can be really exciting too, Dan, with a lot of elite young talent coming together. And I'm really excited to see some of these 2003, 2004, and soon to be 2005 born players get into the lineup here. And it should be a lot of potential for this team in the fall. And it could be fun to watch this team grow from the start of the season until hopefully a playoff run next spring.
And Fraser, can you maybe just give us a temperature of what the mood and the demeanor is like up north right now? I mean, very few, if any, cases currently of COVID-19. And,
right,
you know, we're, you know, in this safe area of British Columbia compared to, you know, obviously our neighbors to the south of us and to the east of us. But can you maybe just give us a bit of a temperature of what day-to-day life is currently like in northern BC and kind of what you kind of sense is going to be, you know, any thoughts, not necessarily asking you to predict what's going to happen, but just any general thoughts you may have about the current situation and where it's all heading?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, you know, I can't speak on behalf of the other teams in our division, but I think we're all pretty much on the same page, though, in the sense of I think everybody's kind of itching to get back to what maybe normalcy is. I don't know what normal will be. We always talk about the new normal. Dr. Bonnie Henry has really coined that quite smartly, the public health officer that's been so good updating the public here in the last few months. Her and her team have done an excellent job of kind of walking us through this whole pandemic. But, you know, up here in the Northern Health region, there's only, as of we're talking today, June 15th, there's only one active case of COVID-19 in the entire North. And to give your listeners a perspective, Dan, that's Williams Lake, right to the Yukon border. That's the entire Northern Health region, the biggest region in the province, and has the fewest cases, 65 total cases since the pandemic first came in March, and the only one active case, and the amount of people that have, you know, now been successively been discharged from hospital or have been, you know, back to regular health has outweighed the actual infectious rate. The recover rate has outweighed the infectious rate now, and you know, for here, you're starting to see signs of things returning to normal. Like, we see restaurants obviously opening up. Thank God my barber opened up. I was badly needing a haircut, like most of us.
Right.
So, and I think people in general now are wanting to get back at it when it comes to sports, when it comes to getting back to that, you know, that routine. It's, you know, cautious optimism, I like to say. But up here in the north, I think it's hard to see really any signs of the pandemic on day-to-day life. Obviously, we see the, you know, personal protection equipment in stores, grocery stores, restaurants, you know, cashiers, people wearing masks. But outside of, you know, grocery shopping with a mask on, you know, you have people doing that at their own discretion. You don't see any signs of real, you know, worry up here. And I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. I tend to lean on the optimistic side with that. It's nice to see people starting to feel comfortable again. But we just hope the rest of the province and Canada can have that same type of feeling soon as well. I know a lot of people in BC are very optimistic with the numbers and how they're trending. And up here in the north, I think it's a nice story how well we've done as a community to, you know, take the necessary steps from the health authority, implement them here as well. And we're happy to see the numbers trend in the right direction, trending down. And I think that now kind of gets you a little itchy to play some sports again, even though it's middle of June. I think everybody's counting down the days to training camp and opening night when we can get the okay from the provincial and federal authorities.
Unfortunately, my friend, we have to leave it there. We could no doubt continue this conversation, I am sure, but want to thank you for kind of giving us a sense of what life is like to the north of us, about 9 hours or so, and I'm sure our paths are going to cross at some point this summer. But to you, to your wife, and to your daughter and family, continued health and safety and positivity, my friend, and let's agree to do this sooner than later again, please.
So, always a pleasure, Dan. Appreciate it. Be well and stay safe, sir.
Sounds good. Fraser Rogers on White Spot Giants this week, the voice of the Prince George Cougars. Big thanks to Fraser. Big thanks as well to Eric Florchuk. And a big thanks to you as well. Thanks for tuning into this week's show. We'll be back next week. We'll talk to you then. I'm Dan O'Connor, and this has been White Spot Giants this week on Sportsnet 650.